Well, we're going to start a little study today called A Fresh Start in 2011. A Fresh Start in 2011. And the subtitle is Just Let It Go. Just Let It Go. All right, we're at the start of a brand new year. 2010, friends, may have been tough for you. Maybe you experienced losses in your life, financial losses, maybe job losses, relational losses, maybe unexpected reports. And maybe you simply had unfulfilled goals and expectations in this last year. But we need to resolve to make 2011 the year of a fresh start. Say it with me. 2011 is going to be the year of a fresh start in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. And friends, I encourage each and every single one of you to sit down and start praying to God today about the resolutions and goals that God would have you establish for 2011. Just get along with God. Starting tonight, tomorrow, 10, 15, 20 minutes, and just pray to God and say, God, what resolutions, what goals are you wanting me to set to establish for 2011? And I tell you, friends, if you listen to the voice of God and listen to what He's saying to you, He'll speak to you about what He's wanting you to do. Maybe He's wanting you to move to a new city. Maybe He's wanting you to get involved with another church. Maybe He's wanting you to get involved with a certain ministry. Maybe to reconcile a relationship, overcome an addiction. God will speak to you and He'll give you the steps to achieve that goal as well. And, you know, I think one of the top resolutions that we need to set this year as we begin 2011 is to walk in forgiveness. Let me say it again. I think one of the top resolutions that we need to set this year as we begin 2011 is to walk in an attitude of forgiveness, just letting it go. And friends, let me tell you, as you go about daily life, as you go about today, maybe yesterday, as you go about tomorrow and the next week and the next month, guess what? You're going to be interacting with people, talking with different people here at the shelter, on the streets of downtown, at your work sites. And people are going to say and do things. As you go about daily life, people will say and do things that don't quite sit right with you. They'll say and do things, and they may not mean to be offensive toward you, but maybe you take it as an offense. Maybe they joke about your weight, and maybe you're trying to lose weight, and this lost long friend comes along and says, man, it looks like you gained 10 pounds. And you take it as a seat of offense, or maybe somebody jokes about your mom or dad. We don't like that, right? Or maybe somebody doesn't return phone calls that you've been making, or doesn't return emails. Maybe you're in a time of emergency, and that person is turning a deaf ear towards you. They're not listening to you. They can help you, but they won't help you. Maybe there's a person in your life who is negative, a person who is pessimistic, always sees the negative side of things and is always talking negative. And every time you're around them, they're talking negatively and it really gets under your skin. How many have been there where somebody gets under your skin? All right, we've been there. We've all been there. Maybe it's somebody out there who has slandered your character, has slandered who you are as a person, has called you a liar, a deceiver. Maybe it's somebody out there who has put a guilt trip on you, reminding you of things you've done in the past. Remember when you were here. Remember when you did this. Remember when you were loose and did drugs and smoked. Remember how you hurt that person. And they're trying to put a guilt trip upon you. And so people will do things and say things like this that don't sit quite right with you. And I'm here to tell you today that these are offenses. Would you agree if somebody jokes about your weight, if they put a guilt trip on you, if they borrow money and don't pay it back, if they slander you, if they talk negatively, right? These are offenses. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that if you take these offenses, these seeds of offense, and you allow them to be planted in the soil of your heart and you nurture those seeds of offense, eventually those seeds of offense can become roots of bitterness. Now, how does a person nurture a seed of offense like they would nurture an apple seed? How would you nurture an apple seed? You would plant it in the ground, right? You would put it in the sunlight. You would water it, right? How does a person nurture a seed of offense? Somebody says something that doesn't sit right with you, tries to put a guilt trip on you, is negative around you, talks nasty to you. How do you nurture that seed of offense? The way a person nurtures a seed of offense is by thinking about what that other person said. I can't believe he said that. I can't believe she said that negative thing about me or about my mom or about my dad. And you think about it and talk about it and you mention it to somebody else. Could you believe what this person said or did to me or to my loved one? That's nurturing a seed of offense. And if you keep nurturing and watering a seed of offense, God forbid, it can become a root of bitterness. You know, the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 12, verse 15 says this, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." See to it that no bitter root, Hebrews 12, 15, grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Did you know that the bitterness inside of you not only affects you, but can also negatively affect people in your sphere of influence? The things you say and do, the bitterness on the inside of you does not only affect you negatively. It affects people that are related to you as well. It causes many people trouble. It defiles many, as the Word of God says. Is that making sense? Yeah. Now, bitterness, that root of bitterness on the inside, can become a tree of hatred. And I don't want a tree of hatred growing up on the inside of me. How about you? Amen? Friends, remember this. Offenses will come. As you go about daily life, people will say and do things to offend you. Let me ask you this. How do you uproot any root of bitterness, any seed of offense that tries to take hold of the soil of your heart? How do you uproot any seed of offense that tries to take hold of the soil of your heart? How do you uproot bitterness? How do you uproot a poison ivy plant? How could you do it? You can take a tool called a pointed shovel, right? And just dig it up. Does that make sense? Anybody ever been there, done gardening maybe when you were younger for your grandparents or your parents? Or for somebody else? How do you uproot any kind of weed? You take a shovel and you just yank it out, right? So how do you uproot any seed of offense, any root of bitterness? With the tool called, with the tool called forgiveness. That's the tool we're talking about today, forgiveness. What is forgiveness? When you think of the word forgiveness, what comes to your mind? When you think of the word forgiveness, what comes to your mind? What's that now? Okay. Anybody else? She thinks of pain when you think of forgiveness? Okay. It is painful sometimes to forgive. Anybody else humbling yourself? Okay. Say what now? Letting it go. That's right. Forgiveness. Now, remember this. As we start this new year, let's start it right. Forgiveness is releasing a person of the debt that you feel that they owe you. Somebody has sinned against you. Somebody has offended you in something they said or did. What does forgiveness say to do? Forgiveness says to release that person of the debt you feel that they owe you. And you might be thinking today, well, the least that they owe me is an apology. I'm sorry for what they did, for what they said. They joked about my weight. They tried to put a guilt trip and condemnation on me. The least they can do is say, I'm sorry. But guess what, friends? You know what forgiveness also involves? It also involves releasing a person of the apology that you feel that they owe you. Let me say it again. Forgiveness also involves releasing a person of the apology that you feel that they owe you. How many here like to be apologized to? For somebody to say, I'm sorry. Well, guess what, friends? It's not always going to happen. People are going to be ornery. People are going to get under your skin, thinking they did you no wrong, and you're expecting an apology, and I'm sorry, and guess what? You never get it. You know what you got to do at that point? Just release them. Let it go. Release them of the debt of the apology that you feel that they owe you. Is that making sense? Yeah. Now, let's talk about this. Offenses, insults are inevitable, I've heard it said. But forgiveness is an option. Should I say it again? Offenses are inevitable. What does that mean? They're inevitable. insults are inevitable. What does that mean? That means they are sure to come in life, right? The moment you leave this room, within the next hour or two, somebody may do or say something that offends you. So it goes to say that, you know what? Offenses are inevitable, but forgiveness is an option. What does it mean that forgiveness is an option? That means that forgiveness is a choice. You've got to choose to forgive, like this woman said, even when it's painful to forgive. You have got to settle it on the inside. I am going to choose to forgive even when it hurts me, when it's painful for me to forgive somebody else. And remember this, don't base your forgiveness on somebody else's response. You know, that person may have said something to offend you. Maybe they joked about your weight. Maybe they tried to condemn you. Maybe they were negative. Maybe they said something about a loved one. Maybe they didn't pay back money that they owed you. And that person may do something that you take as an offense, and maybe they didn't mean to be offensive toward you. They're happy-go-lucky. They're carefree. They're going about life. You know, you try to bring it to them, and they don't think they did anything wrong. And you're like, man, they don't think they did anything wrong, but I'm offended. Guess what? You can't base forgiveness on that person's response. That person may think they did you no wrong, but you know what? On the inside, you still have got to determine to forgive and let that person go. Let that offense go. Is that making sense? Don't base your forgiveness on somebody else's response. And I heard it quoted yesterday from a minister at a church that I went to. A minister at this church said this. He was quoting somebody else, but I didn't catch the name of the person that he was quoting. So this doesn't come from me. This is what he says. He said, unforgiveness, quoting this other person, unforgiveness is like smacking your lips at the feast and only eating yourself. And I believe that's what I heard. Let me say it again. Unforgiveness is like smacking your lips at the feast and only eating yourself. Interesting, isn't it? In other words, when you decide to walk in unforgiveness or bitterness toward your offender, towards the person who insulted you, guess what? It's not hurting that other person. When you walk in unforgiveness and bitterness towards your offender, it's not hurting your offender. They may be happy-go-lucky, carefree, thinking they did nothing wrong. But when you walk in unforgiveness and bitterness, it's only hurting you. You're eating yourself. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
It's like this. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison. It's like drinking poison, strychnine, and expecting your offender to die. Guess what? If you drink strychnine, your offender is not going to die, right? You're going to die. It'll kill you on the inside. Making sense today? All right. So let's talk about choosing to forgive. Remember, I said that offenses are inevitable. They're sure to come, but forgiveness is an option. It's a choice. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Awesome parable here. Matthew chapter 18. Peter comes to Jesus. Verse 21. Came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. I bet this person was offending Peter. Maybe offended Peter seven times. And maybe Peter forgave him seven times, and this offender was on his eighth offense towards Peter. And Peter must have been thinking, man, I'm doing pretty good. I forgave this person seven times now. Now I have the chance to get even this eighth time, right? So he's saying, Jesus, how many times do I forgive my offender? Seven times? And Jesus says, nope, not seven. 70 times seven. Or 77 times. What is Jesus trying to say? Jesus is not saying that you forgive a person 77 times or 70 times seven times. What Jesus is saying is, Peter, you have got to walk in an attitude of forgiveness. You have got to choose to forgive your offender. Friends, we have to choose to walk in forgiveness before the day even starts. We've got to settle it early in the morning. You know what? As I go about and interact with people today, offenses will come, but I will forgive in advance. I will choose to walk in a lifestyle and an attitude of forgiveness today, tomorrow, next week, next month, and for the rest of my life in Jesus' name. Is that making sense? You've got to choose to live a lifestyle of forgiveness. That's what Jesus was telling Peter. Peter, you've got to choose to live a lifestyle of forgiveness, of letting go, of releasing your offender of the debt, of the apology that you feel that he or she owes you. And if it applied to Peter 2,000 years ago, guess what? Jesus is the same. It applies to us today. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't change. It's hard to forgive. It's painful, like she said in the back. But when it gets tough to forgive, just say, God, I can't do it. I'm weak. I cannot do this on my own. I can't forgive this person. They offended me too greatly. Maybe it was physical abuse, where they beat you to the point of blood so many times. Or verbal abuse, cussing you so many times. And you're like, God, I can't forgive this. Some type of abuse, emotional abuse. God, I can't do this. This offense was too great. And when it's too great for you, guess who takes over? God, to whom nothing is impossible. He will give you His divine strength and supernatural empowerment to forgive your insulter. Is that making sense? You know, every time you forgive an offense, it strengthens your love walk with others and with God. Let me say it again. Every time you forgive an offense, it strengthens your love walk with others and with God. It liberates you on the inside. It frees you on the inside. Let's go back to Matthew 18. Should you choose not to forgive, what happened in Matthew 18, 23 through 35 could happen to you. Let's read. We just talked about Peter and asking Jesus how many times he should forgive. Now let's go to verse 23 of Matthew 18. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. I heard it said yesterday that it could take years of salary at that time to save one talent. Years and years of salary of working to save one talent. So this man owed 10,000 talents. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, now listen to this. When that servant went out, who was forgiven the millions of dollars worth of debt, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. You know how much 100 denarii was? A few dollars, maybe like 20 bucks. Listen to what he does. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. Pretty much the few dollars that I owe you, the 20 bucks. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debts. When the other servants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all of that debt of yours because you begged me to. Remember, 10,000 talents was like millions of dollars. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. The scenario, this man owed this master millions of dollars. His master took pity on him and forgave him the debt. He released him. This man who was forgiven millions of dollars found somebody who owed him 20 bucks, 15, 20 bucks, and decided to throw him into prison. The master who originally forgave him of the millions of dollars worth of debt found out about it. And what did he do? He took it back. And what did he say? He says, I'm putting you in jail until you can pay back all that you owe. In his anger, the master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured. That word jailers from the original language is tormentors. This master who had originally forgiven this man of millions of dollars worth of debt ended up putting him in jail where he would be tormented by his tormentors. Basically, verse 34 of Matthew chapter 18. In anger, his master turned him over to the tormentors to be tortured. Guess what, friends? If you choose not to forgive, what does it do to you? This man who was owed only $20 chose not to forgive. Not even considering that just previous to this, he was forgiven a debt of millions of dollars. Another fellow servant owes him $20 and he chooses not to forgive it. And what did it do? What did it cause to happen in his life? Since he chose not to forgive that debt of $15 or $20, what happened to him? He was thrown over to the tormentors, into prison, until he should pay back all that he owed. Guess what? If you don't forgive, you're walking in unforgiveness towards somebody. If you're walking in bitterness towards somebody, guess what? It puts you into a prison. Prison of self. You end up being in sort of a spiritual prison. Guess what? When you don't when you don't forgive, you open yourself to evil spirits tormenting you. If you choose to walk in unforgiveness and bitterness, you open yourself up to evil spirits that would want to torment you spiritually, torment you mentally so that you can't even sleep at night. You're thinking about this offender and thinking about it over and over and over and over again to the point where you can't sleep. You're like in a prison of unforgiveness because you chose to hold on to the debt. Is that making sense? And you know, you'll find yourself in a prison as well of depression and grief, thinking about the same offense and offender repeatedly. Making sense? See, this guy found himself back in a prison to be tortured by the tormentors. In jail to be tortured by those tormentors because he chose not to forgive. And friends, it applies to us today. Should you choose not to forgive the person who hurt you, you will find yourself in a prison, being tortured mentally, emotionally, in a prison, in a jail of depression and grief. You see what I'm saying? Not being able to sleep at night. My word to you today is let it go, and God will give you His grace and His strength to be able to let go of the debt. You know, anybody here ever parachute? I never have, but you know, if you're 25,000 feet up in the air, in an airplane, you got that parachute on your back, and you jump out of the plane, right? And when you pull that string, you really hope that parachute is going to open, right? So that you land in safety. And you pull that string, you jump out of the plane, you pull that string, and the parachute opens up. Guess what? You're going to land in safety. You will have saved your life, right? Yeah. Well, I'm here to encourage you today. Open the parachute of forgiveness over your offender. It will save your life eternally. And look at verse 35 of Matthew chapter 18. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. In other words, it's like you're going to be thrown into an eternal prison and jail. God forbid if you decide to hold on to unforgiveness for the rest of your life. I don't want to be eternally separated from God. How about you? So let's start forgiving those who offend us and insult us. Let's open the parachute of forgiveness. It'll save our lives eternally. Is that making sense? I had to do this recently where somebody in the last so many months did something to me and kind of tried to put a guilt trip on me, tried to condemn me. And I've had it done to me in the past. And I just had to step out of myself and just decide to forgive the person and release it. And what does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5? One of the ways we can forgive is this. Matthew 5:44. I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In other words, bless those who curse you. Somebody curses you, insults you, offends you. What do you do in return? If they curse you? No, that's retaliation. Somebody curses you? That's funny. If somebody curses you, you bless them. And when you bless them, what are you doing? You're causing yourself to step out of yourself and forgive that person. Is that making sense? Yep. God will give you His grace. He will give you His strength. Don't retaliate. Don't retaliate. Do not retaliate. Release yourself from retaliating against your offender. That's part of forgiveness, is releasing yourself from retaliation. You know, human nature says what? Human nature says, man, this person slandered me, caused me to lose my job. And I'm going to retaliate and get even and slander that person. That's what human nature says to do, is to retaliate. But I encourage you, friends, release yourself from retaliation. Why? Because vengeance is God's. God will repay. God will repay. Is that making sense? God will take care of the situation. Don't take it into your own hands, trying to get even with the person who hurt you. Don't try to get even with the person who hurt you, friends. God will take care of it. Leave it. Leave it in the hands of God. Back to that parable that we just talked about. Remember that servant who owed just about $20? And his fellow servant threw him into prison, right? For owing $20. I think the fellow prisoner who threw him into prison for the $20 worth of debt kind of offended him. And this man who was thrown into prison for a $20 debt didn't try to retaliate. Think about it. The man who was thrown into prison for owing $20 did not try to retaliate. He was naive. He was humble. Simple man. But guess what? Guess what? God took care of it. You remember the master who originally forgave the millions of dollars of debt? He is the one. He represents God. And that master took care of the situation. The man who owed just a few bucks didn't have to retaliate. The master threw that man into prison and took care of it. That master represents God. Do not try to retaliate if somebody owes you 20 bucks, figuratively speaking. Don't try to retaliate. Don't try to get back. Guess what? Our master, God, creator of heaven and earth, will take care of that person. He will make it right. He will bring about justice. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
Now remember this, don't retaliate. Bless when they curse you. But at the same time, if there's a repeat offender in your life, somebody who beats you repeatedly, cusses at you repeatedly, you can forgive them, you can release them, you don't have to retaliate, but you release yourself from retaliation, but you don't release that person from moral accountability. If that person is beating you every time you see him, if that person is cussing you out every time you meet with him, what do you have to do? You hold them morally accountable. You separate. How do you hold them morally accountable? You separate yourself from them. You put up boundaries. Separate yourself. And if it gets bad enough, you report them to the authorities, to the police, to the staff here at John 3:16. Is that making sense? Release yourself from retaliation, but do not release the repeat offender from moral accountability. Amen? Making sense? I had to do it even today where, just one last story here in my own life, where a lady that we know called me up last night saying, I owe 2 months worth of rent. I'm going to be evicted by 10 o'clock in the morning. And she's calling me up and she's, you know, crying and giving me a sob story, yada, yada, yada. And I said to her, through a process of events last night, I said, you know what? I need to talk to your landlord. I don't want to give you my landlord's number. It's not right for me to do it. And she basically, in her emotional frenzy, hung the phone up on me. Well, she called me again this morning and said, well, I'm going to bend and flex. I'm going to give you my landlord's number. So she finally gave me her landlord's number, and she was being pretty feisty on the phone, and I'm talking to her and saying, ma'am, you know, you're asking me for a sizable sum of money to borrow to help pay your rent so you don't get evicted, and you're being rude. You're being rude, and you're yelling at me, and you're talking nasty to me, and you're asking me for money. You know, and I almost felt at that point not even to lend the money or give her the money to pay the rent. But I decided at that moment, man, this has got to be instant forgiveness, man. I got to forgive her quick. And I decided to do it, even though she was nasty on the phone today. Even though she hung up the phone on me last night, I decided to lend her the money anyway. And so, friends, you know, I'm trying to practice this. And, you know, people offend me and I'm preaching to myself today. And people will offend you. Just let it go. Release them in Jesus' name. Is that making sense? All right.